afternoon. We'll now proceed with the argument in Evans versus Grayman.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Everybody, Ms. Castle, Judge Moore. I'm P. Stephen Potter, and I represent Robert Grayman and the appellant in this case. The mistake that Mr. Grayman made, and I think it ran clear through in this case, is getting involved in a family corporation and that then resulted in a divorce, and it resulted in Mr. Evans dying and Mr. Grayman trying to carry through the wishes of Mr. Evans, which leads us to one of my points in the brief, and that's the trial court refusing to commit the evidence and the conclusion of Oklahoma. There was a huge state fight down there, and the same issues were presented in Oklahoma as presented in this case in the state. And the court made some very specific findings in that case, which were favorable to Mr. Grayman, and those were presented, and the court refused to take those. And I think the court should have taken, and under the exception to hearsay, under 27803, sub 7, and sub 23, they could have, and it had very appropriate value, and should have been presented to the jury. But the main issue in the appeal is the court not allowing Mr. Lockwood to testify as an expert witness. And I think when the court takes a look at it, the case we cited in Norquay versus UP Railroad, it lays out what the court should consider. An explanation of the party's failure to respond or respond properly to the discovery request. And in that, the record will show that the testimony of Fred Lockwood, in which he made his analysis for the divorce, the testimony was supplied to the plaintiffs more than 4 months before. The next item, the importance of the expert testimony. Mr. Lockwood's testimony was of the most importance in this case, because what happened is the CPA, Grotecki, what he did, he took the, this corporation was losing money, they had a contract with Walmart, he took 1 month that they made money, they took it times three, and that's how he came up with his value. All the rest of the months and the evidence shows they were losing money. Now, I think it was really important, and it was, of course, Mr. Grayman, that the evidence coming in Mr. Lockwood of his evaluation of this corporation. Element of surprise. They've been fighting. They had Mr. Lockwood's testimony for months. We supplied it to him, and they've been involved in this litigation down in Oklahoma. It wasn't any surprising in the divorce case. And they needed time to prepare a response. They had this information, and there wasn't really any showing that they needed any time to prepare a response, and the possibility of a continuance. And they didn't ask when they got it. They just waited until the pretrial addressed the motion in limine, and it was sustained. And we feel that the court abused its discretion in not allowing us, or in the alternative, not just simply saying, hey, look, need a continuance, or get, you know, there's still plenty of time to do a deposition. And I think that the cases that support the fact, or our position, is the inline suspension of Weinberg. And in there, it, in the test, It talks about expert testimony deprived defendant a substantial right. And that's what the whole case was. When the jury came down with his verdict, you can tell by that they just took Mr. Grotecki's evaluation, and that's what they came in with their decision. In Brown versus Hansen, expert has been listed. They provided a copy of the report, and they had knowledge of the expert's identity. That's exactly the case here. And in Nixon versus Harkins, in that, the defendants were aware of plaintiff's intention to call an expert witness. They disclosed it. This was a matter of days. In the Raymond case, the plaintiffs didn't ask for continuous. We need continuous because we need to take his deposition.
In this case, though, that the report that was eventually supplied didn't state what Mr. Lockwood's opinions were going to be in this case. It just referred to the probate matter.
The testimony just referred to the probate matter. I think the report was the report. I think all he did was give us the report on the divorce matter, because I think in the divorce they were trying to analyze what the corporation was worth. So the report was on the divorce, from the divorce case, and the testimony was from the probate case.
Yep. But in any event, what was supplied didn't state this is Mr. Lockwood's opinion in this litigation, and this is the basis for his opinion.
Right, and that's what Judge Doyle said. Okay. That was going to be his opinion because of his examination for the divorce case. And you're right. The other, then, mistake, which I think Judge Doyle made, was not allowing us to call Mr. Lockwood as a rebuttal witness, not to testify as to what the valuation was, but to testify as to the methodology that Mr. Grotecki had used. And it was really simple. All he did was just take that 1 month and take it times three, and that's not in accounting principles, that's not the proper methodology. And the judge did not allow us to call Mr. Lockwood to allow us to keep Mr. Lockwood's testimony as to the methodology he used, what is the standard methodology used in accounting principles, and none of these that Mr. Grotecki used followed those very things. Reserve the rest of my time, please.
Very well, thank you.
May it please the court, I'm Dave Domina. I'm here on behalf of Julia Evans and her children, who brought this action alleging that an accountant tortiously interfered with their relationship with a family business, was unjustly enriched, and committed fraud. None of those theories were present in a divorce case between the decedent here and Julia Evans. In the divorce case, the issue was what was the fair and reasonable value of a marital estate to be divided. The expert witness, Fred Lockwood, who was not permitted to testify by the district court, addressed the question of the value of the assets in the marital estate. The measure of damages for the claims asserted here have nothing to do with the value of any asset in that marital estate. That evidence was not relevant to this case. The trial court properly exercised its discretion and excluded the witness, whether that witness was appropriately or timely disclosed or not.
Was the value of the stock, though, relevant in your case?
The value of the stock was certainly relevant, Your Honor. Mr. Lockwood's report valued the corporation. It did not value the stock, and it did not suggest that an appropriate methodology for determining the stock's value was to divide the whole by the number of outstanding shares. There is no evidence that that's a correct way to measure the value of stock in this corporation. He addressed only the value of the going concern. So there is nothing to this first issue about excluding an expert witness. The second issue addressed here today on appeal is whether or not somehow the trial court should have received as substantive evidence, as an exception to the hearsay rule, findings of fact and conclusions of law in a bench trial in Oklahoma in which the trial court found that the accountant here did not exert undue influence over a testator. This is a fraud case, an unjust enrichment case, alleging that the plaintiffs were harmed by the same person who was alleged to have harmed a different person at a different time, in a different place, in another state, that gave rise to a different trial involving different issues. There is no commonality of claims. There is one commonality of one actor alleged to have been the bad actor in both cases, and that alone does not generate circumstantial indicia of trustworthiness that authorizes the receipt of evidence, and certainly not evidence that is in the form of a court's findings on controverted facts in another case. The only other errors assigned here involve whether the evidence was sufficient for submission to the jury. And even the appellant's brief concedes that there was significant dispute during this week-long trial involving hundreds of exhibits. This judgment should be affirmed, and at long last, the Evans family should have some peace against this actor. Thank you.
Thank you. How much time remains for appellant? Very well.
Your Honor, the plaintiffs brought seven causes of action, and we've gone through in our brief and itemized those, and we've presented to the court cases that involve what you have to prove, and I can tell you that on the fraudulent misrepresentation, the testimony was Evans Bakery had a critical flow problem. No banks were interested in financing it. Regional Investment was going to exercise its right to convert. Bob Braman would be the only contact between the Evans Bakery and the bank. Evans Bakery banks were not going to cover any further checks. None of these, and that's what and their allegation, none of those were proved in any way to be fraudulent or misrepresentation. There just wasn't any evidence to support that. There's six more theories. None of these were broken down. There were the instructions, so that we don't know what the recovery, whether the recovery was on fraudulent misrepresentation, tortious interference, breach of fiduciary duty, unjust enrichment, conspiracy, self-dealing, examination of record, and invalid corporate action.
This was submitted for a general verdict? This case was submitted to the jury for
a general verdict?
Just a general verdict. Doesn't the case law then say a general verdict is presumed to find for the plaintiff on all issues?
Yes, you're right, but I think there needed to be specific findings, and there needed to be, those needed to be laid out in the jury instructions.
Did you ask for that?
I did not.
Is that a problem?
It is a problem. You're correct, I did not ask for that. But I think when you take a look at it, that you'll find that under conspiracy self-dealing, there's no separate the record in the case will show no separate action. In examination records, did not request any damages for that, and that the invalid corporate action, that that was approved at action. So, and so therefore, on our motion, the court should have dismissed those causes of action because there was sufficient evidence.
Thank you. The cause is submitted and counsel are excused.